Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This evening I'm going to speak on some social and political issues that are in the news at the present time in India and will have far-reaching effects in the days, months, and years to come. It might be questioned, why do spiritual people or people who are supposed to be spiritually minded discuss such things? This comes from the misconception that religion is something that's supposed to be locked away and private and has nothing to do with our day-to-day life. Whereas actually, the way we live in this world should be for the sake of jivasya tattva jignyasa, for inquiring into the ultimate reality, the meaning of life, and living our lives accordingly. And of course, in all the scriptures of the world, there are directions how people should live, how society... Sorry, let's put that another way. In the scriptures of all the religions of the world, not that every scripture deals with social and political issues, but every religion necessarily deals with such subjects. I'm going to discuss, from a scriptural point of view, two decisions from the Supreme Court that body which is functions in a supposedly democratic society, which is not elected by the members of society and which interprets the law and effectively acts as an extra parliamentary body, or it seems to be even more, seems to have even more power than the parliament. Anyway, the recent decisions, two of them, which very much affect Hindu society. One of them is that the ancient tradition that the Ayyappa Swami temple in the south of Kerala, there's an ancient tradition that women between the ages of 10 and 50 should not be allowed to enter that temple at all. With the understanding that the deity there, Ayyappa, who does not appear to be a Vedic or Puranic deity, but is worshipped as the son who was born after the union of Lord Shiva with Mohini Murti, and is very much established in South India as part of the ongoing tradition with many, apart from the name Ayyappa, there are many names, Manikandan and Shashta, well known in this part of the world. I'm speaking in Kerala. So there are other temples of Ayyappa where women are allowed to enter, but this one, because he's a Naishtik Brahmachari, the deity. Of course, people of the caliber of intelligence and learning on the Supreme Court would look down on the foolishness of people who think that deities have personalities. I'm speaking with sarcasm and some anger here also. Think spiritual people shouldn't be angry? Ask Arjuna after he heard Bhagavad Gita. So that's been overturned, saying that it offends the rights of women. It's unconstitutional. That's the basic idea, that religions can't deprive women of doing anything. All these people are talking about equal rights for men and women. When are the men going to start agitating that they should have babies? Why should only women have babies? Why is that? Well, nature made them different, didn't they? So, differences, deep differences. Anyway, it's the foolishness of this modern equal rights, that everyone should be equal in all respects. Well, the Supreme Court judges, they don't have equal rights. They have more than, they have the right to dictate to the whole nation. How is that? They don't have equal rights with everyone else. Why doesn't an ordinary citizen have the right to legislate in the way that they do? So that's one thing. Another thing that they've made a law which made adultery illegal for men only but not for women, they've overturned that and said it's non-constitutional, and by some complicated legalese, some strange kind of logic, they say it discriminates against women. I couldn't follow exactly their line of thinking. Maybe I'm probably just not intelligent enough to follow their complex way of thinking, but that by in which it said that men previously under the law could be found guilty of adultery, but women couldn't be, and that discriminates against women somehow or other. Anyway, that's been thrown out in the name of not following gender stereotypes. That was the term used, gender. By the way, our dear judges, you can talk about gender stereotypes, but there are differences. Women have fleshy breasts. They have different genitals. They have different reproductive functions. And there are many other differences also. There are differences. I wrote a whole book about it, called Women, Masters or Mothers. The foolishness of modern feminism is taken to task in that book. Who cares? So, let's have a look at these issues through the eyes of ancient wisdom, which of course the Supreme Court judges don't believe in ancient wisdom because they think they're more wise. I wonder, they make all this fuss every year in India. They have a holiday for Independence Day and a holiday for Republic Day. What independence? The Supreme Court is making laws against the ancient understanding and ancient traditions. They're making laws based on completely westernized outlook. Of course, I'm coming from the West, but I chose to... I mean, in this life I was born in the Western countries, but I chose to... or I was fortunate enough to be allowed to take part in an ancient culture that has higher goals than the overriding hedonistic outlook of the Western world, which is based on atheism, the idea that we only live life once and that we should make the most of it to enjoy sense gratification. Basically, it's atheism. So, shining the light of spiritual knowledge, which the millions of people who go to the Ayyappa temples and other temples believe in, and which the Supreme Court judges, maybe they go to temples also. Clearly, they don't believe in it. This is coming from the foremost exponent, Hare Krishna, of spiritual knowledge in the modern age, in English language, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, writes in his purport or commentary to his encyclopedic Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 3, here he writes, based on scripture, based on ancient tradition, he writes, "The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Charnakya Pandit has described four kinds of enemies at home." Srila Prabhupada doesn't give the Sanskrit here. Rinikata Pita Shatru. I'm giving the Sanskrit, which I heard from Srila Prabhupada. If the father is in debt, he is considered to be an enemy. If the mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, that's Mata Vyabhicharini Shatru. She is considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live well with her husband but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if a son is a fool, he is also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, or a lover, in other words, if she commits adultery, then according to Vedic civilization, she is considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a greatly sinful act. Where is that purport? I'd just like to read a little bit more from that. No, I didn't. Yeah. The most sinful activity for a wife. Yeah. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. In other words, adultery. Yeah. Now, a broader perspective on this, from the scriptural point of view, a broader perspective means on the whole issue of people who have some kind of position as a judge, based on laws given, coming from where? Coming from imperfect people. The whole issue of them making laws is discussed. Here even the parliaments are brought under scrutiny. The whole idea is that law comes from God. What is the name for law book in Vedic culture or Hinduism? I wonder how many Hindus know the ancient laws. It's called Dharma Shastra. Dharma Shastra. There are different kinds of Shastra. There is Yoga Shastra. Bhagavad Gita is Yoga Shastra. Discusses spiritual topics. There is Niti Shastra, the Shastra of morality. Artha Shastra, economics, or for kings, how to judge, how to rule the state. So Dharma Shastra are the law books of mankind. The first and most prominent, first in human society is Manu. There are 20 prominent Dharma Shastras. And Yajnavalkya, Parashara, Narada, Vishnu, Haritha. There are so many Dharma Shastras. These are the law books which are followed from time immemorial. And there'll be this whole system of judges and courts. It's one of the major problems in India today is the legal system. And India's got many, many problems. The whole world's got many, many problems. Apart from the ongoing problems of birth, death, old age, and disease, which the whole world faces in all phases of time, the whole world is full of so many problems. But India has manifold problems. Among them, the legal system. There are over 1 crore, that's over 10 million cases pending. You can't get justice. If you have money, you can bribe. That's all. Otherwise, there's no justice. The laws are not at all favorable to men the laws have invaded the domestic sphere, and a woman can just complain that she's been harassed by her husband and in-laws, and without any further questions, the husband and in-laws are put in cells, imprisoned. And so many problems arising from... Anyway, I'll read a purport from Srila Prabhupada in which he discusses this issue. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 42. Srila Prabhupada's exposition of Srimad Bhagavatam is a perfect exposition of spiritual knowledge applied to all spheres of life. Yatha gavo nasi protas tantyam badhas chadama bihi vag tantyam nama bebadha vahanti balim ishituhu. Translation of this verse, translation from the ancient Sanskrit, more than 5,000 years old, and actually eternal, but Srimad Bhagavatam was last manifested in its present form 5,000 years ago. So the translation is as follows. As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme. Srila Prabhupada explains this verse and as follows, and you'll see the connection with the Supreme Court's diktats. Srila Prabhupada writes, Every living being, whether a man or an animal or a bird, thinks that he is free by himself, but actually no one is free from the severe laws of the Lord. The laws of the Lord are severe because they cannot be disobeyed in any circumstance. So I'll just add comments here and there. The laws of the Lord are severe, because you can't disobey the orders of God. You can, but you can't escape. The point is that you can't escape punishment. Srila Prabhupada explains this. The man-made laws may be evaded by cunning outlaws, but in the codes of the supreme lawmaker, there is not the slightest possibility of neglecting the laws. In other words, if you break the law, you get punishment. That's called the laws of karma. You may think you can get away with something, but you don't. If you don't get it in this life, you're going to get the punishment in another life. A slight change in the course of God-made law can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. Yeah, so if you change the law, if you think, well, we know better than the law is given by God, then there's going to be severe consequences. Just like the law, it's not exactly a law, but it's a rule that temple entry is restricted. Now the Supreme Court think they have a better intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada continues, such laws of the Supreme are generally known as the codes of religion under different conditions. Now this is very interesting because the codes of religion, there's an idea in the modern trying to theoretically egalitarian state that everyone should be treated equally. But of course it doesn't happen. You and I, we don't get big escorts, security guards wherever we go, like the Prime Minister of India. We don't have the right to interpret the law as Supreme Court judges do. You may say, well, they're qualified and they're chosen to do so. But whatever it may be, we don't have the same facility as they do. So it's not egalitarian. Now, in Vedic, this is a big discussion, which I might discuss at some other point in time in more detail. But the legal system that was going on in India was completely upset by introducing the British system. Otherwise, law was administered locally, and still that's going on in some panchayats in Haryana and different parts, where they don't care for the police or the law and all this. They the local elders, they decide. And that may be going on in some, in Muslim communities also, where among themselves, they give, they mete out justice. So it works like this, that the local people who know everyone concerned and know the issues thoroughly, they decide. And the law, it may be different for different groups. For instance, in general, in traditional India, among Brahmanas, divorce was not allowed. But among Shudras and tribal people, in many, of course, it's very complex. There are many subcastes, but it was allowed, and there were conditions for that. For instance, among some tribes, if someone carried off someone else's wife, and someone may go and fight the person who carried off his wife, and if he's not successful, then he'll appeal to the village elders, and they'll settle it up by saying that the person who carried off the wife has to give a couple of pigs or something, and the matter's settled up. And it's considered a fairly ordinary happening. This was in India before the pre-industrial and trying to have a one-shoe-size-fits-all uniform civil code for everyone. So it was settled up according to the customs within certain communities, according to their level of consciousness, the level of consciousness of the Brahmana is supposed to be more spiritual than that of tribal people. They're born in a different family due to their previous religious activities. And it was all done locally. And you didn't have to wait for 20 years, or sometimes cases are going on generation after generation, completely anti-social laws. And you didn't have to spend lots of money or any money. And there was no question of bribing because everyone knew everyone else. So that was a much better system. So, under different conditions, but the principle of religion everywhere is one and the same, namely to obey the orders of the Supreme God, the codes of religion. The codes of religion means the Dharma Shastras. So they're general principles, but the principles of religion are enacted in different communities, in different times and places and circumstances, by actually supposed to be wise people who themselves have good character and who are aware of the laws of God and how they should be applied in different circumstances. So continuing Srila Prabhupada, what he writes, disobedience to these codes is the condition of material existence. All living beings in the material world have taken up the risk of conditioned life by their own selection and are thus entrapped by the laws of material nature. The human form of life is meant for understanding this conditioned life and then becoming free from the clutches of material existence. And the only way to get out of the entanglement is to agree to obey the Supreme. So here we're talking about Srila Prabhupada, and we are reading it, talking about law in a very broader way, the laws of God. We're meant to follow the laws of God. Because we're not following the laws of God, we're in the prison house of the material world. But instead of becoming free from the clutches of Maya or illusion, foolish human beings become bound up by different nomenclatures, being designated as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Hindus, Mohammedans, Indians, Europeans, Americans, Chinese, and many others. And thus they carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord under the influence of respective scriptural or legislative injunctions. So what do we get from this? That the laws are ultimately given by God on how to live in this material world, and the laws may be somewhat different according to the religion or the community that we're in, but the very fact that we identify with a certain religion or a community is going on under the illusion of thinking that I am this body which ties us up in this material world. So we can see there are different levels of understanding law. There's the ultimate level of understanding that the ultimate law is simply to surrender to Krishna, to dedicate ourselves fully to God. But within this world there are laws to be followed according to our different levels of contaminated consciousness. So the statutory laws of the state are imperfect imitations of religious codes. Now we're getting to the point, man-made laws. Srila Prabhupada continues, the secular state or the godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. The result is that the people in general suffer more by breaking the laws of God than they benefit by obeying the imperfect laws made by man. This is a colossal statement that imperfect people who do not know the laws of God, who do not know who is God and how we should serve Him and what are His laws, they make their own laws based on their own morality, their own idea of morality. This Supreme Court judgment taught about morality as we understand it now. And then what their morality will change. Morality is always changing. So they have to keep on changing the laws according to what they think is right, from one day to the next. Whereas if we have to know what is right and what is wrong according to the laws given by God, which is called the Shastra or scriptures. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, states, Pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidura suraha. People of demoniac, ungodly nature, they do not know what is right and what is wrong. Adharmam dharam iti ya manyase tamasavita. Because they are covered by ignorance of the actual goal of life, they do not know, they cannot distinguish between what is real dharma or proper behavior and what is adharma or improper behavior, and they mix it all up. So the result is that if we follow the laws of the state, we might be considered a good citizen, but in following the laws of the state, we break the laws of God, and ultimately we suffer more. If we break the laws of the state, then we may be punished by imprisonment. But if we follow the laws of the state and in so doing break the laws of God, then we have to suffer much more karmic reactions in due course of time. For instance, the laws of the state of India, they sanction abortion, fetal abortion, which is not allowed by the laws of God. And people say, well, it's not only allowed, but it's encouraged. Good thing, abortion. Very good. Keep the population down. We love Indians, but we don't want any more of them. Some funny idea. So people, they may follow the law of the state. It's within the law of the state to have abortions. But people who perform abortions, who have abortions performed on them, who have their wives or children perform abortions, anyone who's involved with that, anyone who ratifies that or approves of it, they all have to suffer severe karmic reactions by breaking the laws of God. Every man is imperfect by constitution. Talking about constitution? Well, our psychological constitution is that we're imperfect under the conditions of material existence. And there is not the least possibility that even the most materially advanced man can enact perfect legislation. So however you may be highly advanced, Supreme Court judge, it's a very high position, but there's no way they're going to make perfect legislation. because they're imperfect. The basic imperfections of every conditioned soul are that they make mistakes. Brahma pramad vipralipsa karanapatav. Everyone makes mistakes. They're illusioned. They don't know the goal of life. They're illusioned, thinking that we're supposed to enjoy this material world, whereas this material world is a place of suffering. Brahma pramad vipralipsa. We have a cheating propensity. And Brahma pramad vipralipsa karanapata. We have imperfect senses, imperfect intelligence. So there's no possibility, not the least possibility, that even the most materially advanced man can enact perfect legislation. On the other hand, there is no such imperfection in the laws of God. If leaders are educated in the laws of God, there is no necessity of a makeshift legislative council of aimless men. Right, so leaders should be educated in the laws of God instead of putting in people. Aimless men means they don't know the goal of life. Nate vidu swartagating hi Vishnum. They do not know that the goal of life is to serve Vishnu, God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Durasha ye bahirata manina. They're completely, for all their intelligence and their law degrees and their pious protestations of secularism, they're completely in the grips of material. Urudam nibadha, they're completely in the severe grips of material nature, being bewildered by the prospect of enjoying this material world. There is necessity of change in the makeshift laws of man. Yeah, always laws are being revised. Why? Why the laws? If the laws are good, then why they're always... If the laws are sufficient, then why are they always being revised? Why do the parliaments always discuss new laws, changing this law, that law? Because they don't have any fixed position. So, there is necessity of change in the makeshift laws of man, but there is no change in the God-made laws, because God made laws because they are made perfect by the all-perfect personality of Godhead. The codes of religion, scriptural injunctions, are made by liberated representatives of God in consideration of different conditions of living. And by carrying out the orders of the Lord, the conditioned living beings gradually become free from the clutches of material existence. There's so much important consideration packed into every line and every word here, but I'm not going to try to explicate it all. You have to read the book and yourself and read it very deeply and carefully. It's really very profound. The factual position of the living being is, however, that he is the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. In his liberated state, he renders service to the Lord in transcendental love and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometimes on an equal level with the Lord, or sometimes more than the Lord. But in the conditioned material world, every living being wants to be the lord of other living beings. And thus by the illusion of Maya, this mentality of lording it over becomes a cause of further extension of conditional life. So in the material world, the living being is still more conditioned until he surrenders unto the Lord by reviving his original state of eternal servitorship. That is the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita and all other recognized scriptures of the world. So there are a few comments from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In accord with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the ancient, perfect condition, perfect culture of spiritual knowledge, it's very sad to see and to be living here as India, which independent India is just aping the ways of the West in terms of so-called secularism, not understanding anything about the higher culture of spiritual cultivation, and how that is translated into day-to-day life. The more educated these so-called Indians are, the further away they get from their own glorious culture, which is made for God-realization. So this transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as it is should be broadcast very widely, especially here in India. It's so sad to see India just going to hell following the Western model. Hare Krishna.